Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements. There are a number of things that are happening this fall, so you may want to look at the announcement. You're always welcome to take those sheets home with you then, too, so that you have a record of what's going on. One thing to highlight is that on October 30th, we will be having a celebration day for our 150th anniversary. During that day, we're going to have worship service as we normally do here in the sanctuary. And then we're all going to go outside and have our picture taken, all of us together. And then after that is a meal and a program. So if you'd like to be a part of that meal to be able to eat, we ask that you please sign up ahead of time so that we have a head count of how much food that we need to have here. And there are sign-up sheets in the annex, the narthex, or you can call the church office as well then during the week to get your name on there. And I think we have a couple of other announcements. Kathy, you want to go?
Good morning. This is our final announcement. Tomorrow we're going to be having the vaccination clinic here at the church in the fellowship hall from 12 to 2. Craigie's Drugstore will be administering flu vaccines, pneumonia vaccines, shingles, and also the COVID vaccinations, along with the newest booster, which is for the current variant. So please feel free to come by and get those vaccinations. It's coming up flu season, and we want to make sure everybody stays well. Thank you.
Good morning. On October 9th, which is 2 weeks from today, there will be a brief junior high student meeting down in the basement between Sunday school and confirmation class at 11:15. We'll be talking about upcoming events, opportunities, and service projects. If you have any questions, you can come talk to me after church. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Zoe. Yes, Kim.
One more. The youth will be meeting on October 15th at the Corn Maze in Victoria. And we have sign-up sheets down in the basement. It's going to be from 5 to 7. We're going to have everybody kind of congregate at the entrance about 4:45. It's $10 per person. But if you could sign up in the basement so we have a head count, and that's going to be on October 15th. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Are there any other announcements this morning? Not then. I want to turn it over to Kim and Anna.
Good morning. Ms. Forster and I are excited to present our second grade Sunday school students with their Bibles this morning, and we have a bunch of them this year. We would like to ask for all of our second graders and their parents to please come forward, and I don't think we're going to all fit up here. I think Ms. Forster is going to help y'all line up down here in the front, please. All right. So parents, I'm sorry, I should have said that ahead of time. We were going to ask you to present the Bible after I said their name. So in holy baptism, we as parents, sponsors, and the congregation promise to teach our children the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, and place in his or her hands the Holy Scripture. Abiding in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church, we wish to present the following children their Bibles. We have McKinley Carriger. There we go. Carrington Fainer, Mason Forrester, and Reese Forrester, and Colin Kerlick, Landry Copeman, Patrick Payton, Madeline Ripamani, Molly Stira, and Paisley Young. And Sadie and Aileen will get theirs next week when we see them. So we pray that you will enjoy reading your Bibles every day. I know you second graders are reading up a storm now, right? Yes. All right. Thank you very much. Congratulations.
I invite the congregation to rise as we sing our opening hymn, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit
be with you all.
And also with you.
Holy is the Lord, the Almighty.
He was, he is, and he is to come.
He is worthy of glory and honor and power. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. By his blood he purchased for God Christ made of them a kingdom, and they shall reign on earth forever. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of love, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Today's first lesson is from the book of Amos, the 6th chapter. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 146. Read it responsibly, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. Who made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Today's second lesson is from the book of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life, to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord.
Spirit of the living God, fall
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Boy, lots of kiddos today. Good morning, everyone. We have places? All right. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have ever gotten a birthday present? Oh, everybody. What about a... Yes, your birthday is coming up. Sure thing. Now, when you get those presents, what's the first thing you want to do? Play with it. Yeah. Now, let me ask y'all, and you have to be honest. Oh, my. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If you're going to want to play with this, what if your brother or sister comes over and they decide they want to play with it? What do you really do?
Share.
You share?
I would want them to ask.
You would want them to ask you. Well, y'all are a lot better kids than I was, because when I was a kid, I might go, "Mom, he's playing with my toy." Do y'all sometimes do that? Yeah, sometimes, hey? Because we sometimes, when we get excited about our new things, oh, okay, your favorite toy. And sometimes, you know, it's hard. Yes, and sometimes it's hard to share our big little tractor, right, Owen? Yes, so what we have to do a lot of times is sometimes we forget to share because it's so exciting to have that new toy. What about if Mom goes, "I need you to come help me while you're playing with that new toy"? What do you do sometime? What was that? You would go help her? See, y'all are good kids. I wasn't that kid. You would what? You wouldn't go help her. You'd ignore her. Thank you. I'm so glad you're just like me. Good job. Okay. And I think a lot of people out there are the same way. They might ignore them because they're so busy with their stuff. You know, that's kind of what happened in today's gospel story. Okay, there was a man, and he was very rich, and then there was Lazarus, and Lazarus was sitting outside of this rich man's house, and he was very sick, and he was very, very hungry. But did the rich man help him? Nope, sure didn't. What did he do? He continued on with what he was doing. You're correct. And part of that is, it doesn't say in here that this was a really bad man, but he might have just kind of not been noticing. He might have been thinking about, oh, all the money he was making and what he would have to do to make more. Now, he might have even been spending that money on his family and his other people that were really close to him. But you know what? He didn't help Lazarus, and Lazarus really needed help, right? Now, eventually they both died. Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man did not. Did that man not go to heaven because he was rich? No. Why do you think he didn't go to heaven? Tim?
Because he wasn't paying attention.
He wasn't paying attention to people who needed help. Great job. That's exactly what happened. Because you know what? God gives us money so that we can have nice things, so we can eat, so we can do things with our family, and that's a good thing. But you know what? God wants us to remember that we have to love Him first, and then we have to love ourselves, and then we have to love our neighbor just as much as we love ourselves. Who's our neighbor? Do y'all know? Oh, he's your neighbor? Okay. Okay, Gwen, who's your neighbor?
Everybody,
that's right. Everybody is your neighbor, even if they don't go to this church, even if they live in another country, everybody is our neighbor. And that's what God wants us to remember, because when He gives us good things, He wants us to share those things with everyone. Because what He gives to us is what He gives to everybody. And He loves us and wants us to remember that. Okay, can we pray, please? Dear God, thank you for giving us good things. Help us to share them with our neighbors. Amen. All right, thanks. And anybody who's a bell player, we need to go over here because y'all are going to be doing the bells. Thanks, everyone.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus was a master storyteller. A lot of times he would tell stories to make a point or to teach. And it would draw people, he would be able to draw people into that story. And they would be able to remember that story. That story would have an impact on them, where then they could understand the point that Jesus was trying to make. When the rich young man asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus could have just said, everybody. But instead, he tells that parable of the Good Samaritan. And that story sticks with people. Today we have another one of these parables in Luke's gospel. Luke is the storyteller. In Luke's gospel, that has more parables than any of the other gospels. Luke includes those good parables in there. And today we have another one. And what exactly prompted this one, we don't know. It could have been a question, or it could have just been a comment, or just a point that Jesus wanted to make. So you got to kind of consider the context of where this parable is placed. This parable comes after Jesus telling another parable, the parable that we read last week about the dishonest steward, and where Jesus ends up saying, you cannot serve both God and wealth. You cannot have two masters. And then also there's a little short piece between these two parables where it says that the Pharisees were grumbling at the words of Jesus. And so Jesus tells the parable that we read today. Or there's another thing to consider too, is the audience that Jesus is speaking to. He was speaking in these parables predominantly to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were at odds with each other over the issue of resurrection. The Pharisees believed that, yes, there is life after death, that God will raise those believers back up to life with him. The Sadducees said, no, there is no resurrection, there is no new life after death. Salvation continues on through your family. Salvation continues on with your children and with your grandchildren for your own family, or through the children and grandchildren for your tribe that you belong to, or through the nation, through that nation of God, through those people of God, the Hebrew people. That's where salvation ends up, is a continuing on through the generations. And so that argument was going back and forth. But Jesus tells this parable today, and this parable of Lazarus and the rich man, and it actually answers both of those questions, or it addresses both of those questions anyway, about serving wealth, and also then too about a picture of life after death. And so the parable starts off that there was a rich man, and there was also a poor man. Now the rich man, let me back up just a little bit. This parable can be divided into three different sections. The first section is about sin. What sin was committed here? The rich man, it doesn't say anything about him. What sin did he commit? Jesus never points out a sin specifically that this man did. The man was wealthy, and in that day and time, when people saw somebody who was wealthy, they thought that that person was blessed by God, that God had blessed them so much that they were wealthy, and they had everything that they needed. They were a blessed person. So this man, this rich man, was looked up to. It also does not mention anything that he stole to get his property. It doesn't say he cheated anybody to get his property or his wealth. He was probably an upstanding citizen for that most part. So what was his crime? He didn't do anything overly evil towards Lazarus. And if you think about it, he was probably even more lenient towards Lazarus than we would have been. What would you do if there was a homeless person, dirty, smelly, in need of medical attention, who was sick, that would camp out on your front lawn? What would you do? The rich man in this case did nothing. He overlooked Lazarus. He just looked past him. And even maybe every once in a while, Lazarus did get some food from the table, or the leftovers, the scraps, or maybe going through the garbage to get something to eat. So the rich man didn't do anything overtly evil. So what's the sin here? On Sunday mornings, we start our worship service with confession. I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what I have done and by what I have left undone. And that's it right there. What I have left undone. We have sins of commission, the things that we do that we are sinning, and then things that we should be doing that we are not doing as well, the sins of omission. Here was a man who was definitely in need of help. Here was Lazarus, who was definitely in need of help. And the rich man never really even saw him. He looked past him. We see what we want to see. If we don't want to see it, if we don't see it, then we don't have to deal with it. If we don't know about it, then we don't have to deal with it. It'll go away. It's somebody else's problem. It's not my problem. It's somebody else's problem. We just look past it. But yet, it's right there. That opportunity to help, that opportunity to do ministry is right there. And we do nothing. The sins of omission. The second part of this parable deals with life after death. Lazarus dies, the rich man dies, and they both go to their eternal home. Lazarus goes to heaven or into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man goes into Hades. Jesus really does not talk very much about what life after death will be like for us. He mentions a number of times that, yes, we will be raised from the dead, but he doesn't say what our life will look at, will look like at that point. There's very few places where Jesus points in that direction. Rather, Jesus is always focused on the here and now, of who we are and where we are at and how we are to believe. That's where Jesus is. He's in the present. He's in the here and now. And this parable, even though it talks about life after death, is still focused on the here and now of where we're at. But in that scene then, where of Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. He's having a good life. The rich man is in Hades. He's being tormented. And he's upset. Send Lazarus here. Bring some water. Cool me off. And that can't happen because of the chasm in between. And also, too, the rich man had the good things on earth. Lazarus did not. One thing we need to remember that is that God is a just God. God will make things right. God will make things right. A lot of times we question, why God? Why is this happening? How can this be? Why is that faithful person, why were they diagnosed with such a terrible disease? Why did that young person who had so much ability, so much hope, so much to look forward to, why was that person, that young person, involved in an accident? We question, why, God? Why? We don't always have the answers of why. Why does that happen? But God is a just God. God will make things right. We just don't understand how or why or when that will happen. The third part, then, of the parable deals with who we are. It deals with the just God and that there is salvation. We simply need to hear it. We need to hear it and believe it. So Lazarus calls out when he finds out he can't get any, or the rich man calls out when he can't find any water. Send Lazarus back to my brothers so that they won't be in the same torment that I am in. But Abraham says, no, they already have Moses and they have the prophets. They've got the scripture. They've got rabbis. They've got pastors. They've got everybody they need. That word is there already. They can hear that. They need to listen to that. And the rich man says, no, 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 but if somebody comes back from the dead, they will certainly listen to that one. In our day and time today, that message of Jesus Christ has been spread. It's on TV, it's on the radio, it's throughout the internet, it's in print, it's in books, it's in magazines. It's out there. We have missionaries that go out into dangerous places. We have missionaries that are spread out throughout the whole world to proclaim this message of Jesus Christ. That message is there. But yet, people do not listen to it. People do not want to hear it. We're even guilty of that. We have a hard time just stopping and reading the Bible or coming to worship or going to a Bible study or actually spending some time in prayer. We get too busy with everything else. Or other people say, why do you believe in those fairy tales? It's all nonsense. How can you believe that somebody actually came back from the dead? How can you believe somebody actually walked on water or multiplied just a few loaves of fish or a few loaves of bread and fish to feed 5,000 people? How can you believe that stuff? It's not real. People believe what they want to believe. People see what they want to see. Sometimes we're guilty of that as well then too. We don't see what we need to see simply because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to have anything to do with it. And we ignore it. And as we do, we miss opportunities. We miss many opportunities to do ministry, to be able to help someone, or to simply just tell them your story of what God means to you, or to invite them to come and be a part, to join in, to know this joy that we do have as Christians, as we come and celebrate the good news. Too many times, other things just simply get in our way, or we don't think about it, or we ignore it. We don't want to do it. Those sins of omission. We hear those words once again that we heard last week in the scripture reading. You can't have two masters. You can't serve God and serve wealth. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our next hymn. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in the Lord Jesus. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father for the church, the world, and one another. Father, thank you for words of warning and wisdom. Sometimes we don't want to hear how faith and finances are connected. And sometimes we think they're about other people, not us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can listen to your word, think about our priorities, and faithfully do your will, Lord, in your mercy. Look with kindness upon the people and ministries of this congregation. Help us keep the main thing, loving you, and generously sharing your love with others, however and wherever we can. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church, especially in Nigeria, Pakistan, and North Korea. Keep your people steadfast in faith. Help us to speak boldly in their defense. Turn the hearts of their tormentors away from their folly and bring them to repentant faith in you. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our country, for its elected and appointed leaders. Heal the suspicion, division, and hatred that weakens and fractures us. Bless everyone who works to restore integrity, common sense, and impartial justice. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, it's too easy to ignore the poor or blame them for their plight. Give us wisdom as well as generosity. Help us to listen and see, to ponder and discuss, so we work with poor people to help them work for and walk into a better life. Lord, in your mercy. Hear and answer the prayers of all who cry out to you for help. Refresh them in their time of trial and surround them with skilled and kindly care. Especially we pray for the needs of Jay Heil, Lynn Magura, and for Vivian, Isaac, David, and Renee. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, thank you for gathering our beloved dead into your own bosom. Comfort all who mourn the loss of loved ones. Give us your Holy Spirit so we encourage, challenge, and support each other as we strive to walk in your ways. Bring us, with all whom you have redeemed, into the holy peace and eternal joy of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Thank you. Let's pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share your life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger, all who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the work to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Here I Am, Lord. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.